today. I think it's a beautiful day, and we've had a most unusual time of fellowship with the baby, part one of baby dedication. We understand that part two will come later. Amen. Today is day two of this weekend meeting. And today we'll be looking at a little bit of strong meat. And some strong meat, and strong meat goes with some bones. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm sure there'll be a lot of milk also. There'll be a lot of milk also. So it'll be milk, some strong bones, and some meat. So I believe it will be a balanced diet. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Yesterday, we were looking at something that was very central. Man, in all his three realms of body, soul, and spirit, being a habitation of light, awe, and darkness. We started it. We couldn't go. Well, we went quite far, but there were things that we didn't get into, which some of which will come up today, and then in the days to follow. The purpose of this meeting are to bring needed foundation. Even old houses, the foundation needs to be revisited to make it strong. And then for the new houses, of course, you lay the foundation. And the Bible says other foundations should no man lay but that which is laid. I know the thing with foundation is that sometimes it's very boring. It wastes your time. Why are you going in when you should be going up? You spend so much money that is not apparent. But the strength of the house is with the foundation. You know, and the Bible says, if the foundations be removed, you know, what shall the righteous do? We are visiting the foundation because we have been given a warning that there is a tsunami coming. There is trouble, and the trouble is already here. The spirits are here. The horses are already running. So we have to. This is a. It's an urgent work to strengthen the foundation. Today we are going into something very, very, very strong. It's something that affects every part of our lives. And because of it, we will try to dig as much and as wide as we can, as much as we can take in this meeting. We'll try to touch the base. We'll try to touch the foundation, the roots. You know, when you have a strong tree, the roots, they run wide and far. So we are trying to cut the roots so that we can uproot the tree. You know, the tree is the darkness. We saw it yesterday. The darkness has run deep into the soul of man. So we are looking at, you know, the things that deal with the family, the things that deal with the tribe, the things that deal with the nation. We saw one, this right here, breaking of tradition. Today we are looking at our inheritance in Christ in respect of energy and life, the feeding of the soul. No human being No living thing can exist without energy, without food. So this is the beginning and end. When you fight with your enemy, you must knock off his energy source if you are going to weaken him, if you are going to have the victory. And for us, we are fighting against darkness on one hand, we are fighting against our fallen nature on one hand, we are fighting against the host of darkness on one hand, and we are fighting against the darkness in the environment. So it's quite a lot of warfare. And yesterday we were seeing the war in heaven. You know, that our soul is the battlefront. You know, Peter spoke, and he spoke about the lust of the flesh, that war against the soul. So today we are coming right down to the cross of the matter. We are coming to the matter of life, of energy, of strength. And as I speak, the scripture that comes to me is the scripture of Gideon and the 300. What made the difference was the response to hunger. You know, the response to drinking of the water. The water is the word. And God said, take them to the water and separate. I wonder why that would be what God would use, but that's what he used. Say everyone that kneels drops his weapon to drink, he will set him aside. Only those who hold their weapon and they lap the water while still looking, those are the ones that are ready. You know, so I don't know if that means that there is a selection. I don't know, but that's the true scripture that comes to me. So we're in that place of the feeding of the soul. You will recall Genesis chapter, in Genesis 1, 2, 3, and down, it says God made man a living soul. If he's living, then his life depends on energy. Amen. So he made man a living soul. Okay, and being that he's living, he is the man in that state. Of course, God put him in the garden, and in that garden, there was a provision of life, of energy, of strength, of nourishment. In fact, the Bible tells us there was even a river flowing that had four heads, and then he gives us the names of the river. So it would appear that God made a provision for the soul, for man, for Adam. You know, and that provision was not just for his body, it was for his soul and then for his spirit. So it was a complete nourishment that was provided. But man was different. Adam was different from God. God is not limited in terms of energy, in terms of strength. One of the names of God is the El Shaddai. What does El Shaddai mean? It means the all-sufficient, self-existent, omniscient, omnipotent, omni-everything God. Hallelujah. So, El Shaddai means the double-breasted. You use that word, double, means that he is sufficient, you know, to bring life and strength to every situation. So he's the all sufficient God. Some people will say he's the Alpha, he's the Omega. And we saw yesterday, the scripture says God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. But how about you and I? It's a different situation. Man was made a living soul. And being made a living soul needs life, needs energy. Man is not self-existent. We are not all sufficient. So, in God, in creating us, made us to be dependent on him or from a higher source to receive life. Amen. So the soul must have life. However, everybody in this room must have energy, must have life. Hallelujah. But that's different from God. God is all sufficient, all existent, double breasted. Omni. Omni is Greek, I think. It means complete. Omni scient. Omni present. Omni potent. He is complete. Amen. And he made us to depend on him. Hallelujah. But there is somebody else who is important in this discussion. Who is that? We saw him yesterday. The devil, Satan. The Bible says he's a great deceiver. We are told yesterday, as we saw, Isaiah said, in the day thou was created. So he was created. So where does he fit in? We have seen God. God is at the very end. We have seen man. Man is dependent, living. Okay, so where does the devil come in? So the devil is not omni. He's not everywhere. He's not in this room now. So his agents are in this room. Amen. Darkness, yes, is there. So the devil was created, therefore needs life. Amen. Say amen if you understand me. I don't know if you see the equation. That's very important to go forward. The devil doesn't have energy of his own. He was created. So he was created to be dependent. He needs life, he needs energy, he needs strength. Hallelujah. And then there's somebody else who is also created, the living soul, who also needs life, he needs strength. But the arrangement is such that the devil cannot get life from God. Amen. Okay, we saw yesterday, the Bible says that he abode in darkness. And you know, he, right from the beginning, he was a great deceiver. He chose darkness. Therefore, doesn't have access to God. Amen. So, you are looking at the picture of a being, a creation that is desperate for life, desperate for energy. Hallelujah. And then you have another one who is also created, but who has access to God, but who is weak. Amen. So one is weak, but has access to God. The other one was created, doesn't have access to God. Amen. So what do you think is going to happen? And then there is something else about the devil. He was an outcast. He was cast out from the presence of God. He comes in once in a while, like in the case of Job. They ask him, where are you coming from? He say, I've been walking to and fro the whole earth. What is he doing walking around the whole earth? He's looking for energy. He's looking for life. Amen. He's looking for life. He's looking for energy. Amen. You see, have you seen that one? You say, hey, I can't touch you now because you are there. Okay, God said, go and take a little life from him. Amen. Hallelujah. So those are the three main things we're looking at. We see God as the all-sufficient, the source of life. And we see man made a little lower than the angels, but has access to God. Amen. So what do you think is going to happen? The devil is going to try to do everything to bring man into his realm, to bring man under his... Yesterday we saw him say he's the anointed cherub that does what? Covers. So he's going to try to bring his influence over man and then bring that soul under his control so that he can feed on it. Amen. We have something like that in medicine called HIV. Gets into a cell, takes all the life, goes out, goes into another one. Takes all the life, goes out, goes into another one. That is the way these things work. And it's the principle of darkness, the principle of the devil. All right, get as much life from the soul, destroy it, and then go into another one. And the energy the devil gets uses to organize the system so that he become more efficient to get that life. Hallelujah. And that life, that whole thing is a business of opposing God, of being like God. He said this today, we saw that. He said, I will be like God. I will be like God. I will ascend over the stars and I will do so and so. So we see in our story that the soul fell and also became an outcast. The soul became an outcast, like the devil. So, we see that the story of man has changed. Let's read some scriptures. Let's start from... we mentioned it yesterday, we couldn't read it, but today I think we will start from there to properly understand what we are talking about. Luke chapter 11, verse 33. No man, when he had, when he had lighted a candle, putteth it in a secret place, neither under a bushel, but on a candlestick, that they which come in may see the light. The light of the body is the eye. Therefore, when thy eye is single, thy whole body also is full of light. But when thine eye is evil, thy body also is full of darkness. Take heed, therefore, that the light which is in you is not darkness. Is that correct? Have you thought about it? Let's read it again, verse 35. Take heed that the light which is in you be not. I think there are some engineers in this room, so they know about light. Light is energy. I know we Christians, we are afraid of talk about energy, but you permit me today to talk about energy. Light. He's saying there are two types of light. Light, light. And light, darkness. Or darkless light. What is he saying? That the two of them are different types of energy. There is strength in it. There is life in it. Well, life in quotes. Amen. So, what is he saying? How can we apply it? What is he saying? He's saying that the soul has two types of energy source. From God, which is the true light, because God is light, and there's no darkness. So God cannot give you darkness. God does not have the capacity. Even if God says, let me bring darkness, God is light. And in him is what? No. So we can, let me preach small now. I want to pray for 2 minutes. We are not teaching again, we are preaching. So that means that when something bad happens to you, where is it from? When something that you didn't expect happens, pukwa, it means that from the point of God, it is good. Amen. Because there is no darkness in God. So that thing that has happened, he says all things work together for good. Hallelujah. God can never do evil to you or to me. So for me, it's so wonderful that I know one end is blocked. That a God of faithfulness without injustice, true and upright, you see. Amen. So that area we have settled it. So I don't need to ask God why not? What is the why? He settled. So the Bible says, in everything give thanks. From the point of view of God. Hallelujah. A God of faithfulness without injustice. Hallelujah. So I can fall upon him like the one man I like his song. He says, I put them all in you. My trust is in you. Amen. Hallelujah. You can put everything because you know that this God is 100% good. Hallelujah. He will never. David said, don't worry. You see God, I will fall to God. Let me go to God. Because I know that he doesn't have the capacity to do me evil. Amen. If he judges me, it's for my good. Okay, let's come back. So we'll close that chapter now. Alright, so we're talking about light and darkness. And that both of them are energy. Hallelujah. So, God is light. And in him is no darkness at all. But there is the opposite. And that is darkness. And darkness has energy. Darkness has power. Amen. So the devil saw it as, okay, fine. I can now have light. Let the Kukuma settle for darkness. I will become a prince of darkness. Eh? So the devil now cornered darkness. I say, okay, I will harness the energy in the darkness. Alright, we talked about it yesterday. You know, the five realms of darkness. Well, actually, this should be up and this should be down, but it's interchangeable. The Greeks call it kakos. It means to be bad in nature. That is inherently bad from inside. Hallelujah. It's called kakos. So they call it, you know, wickedness and all that. Then there are one ponos. It means the different forms of badness. So it's not just one type of badness, it's multiplied. Amen. Different realms and types. And that darkness must manifest. Every spirit must manifest. That's one nature of. If you see a spirit of anger, it must manifest. So if you inhabit, if you incubate it, give it like 1 day, it will manifest. So this is the manifestation. Poneros. Wickedness, evil, bad. Alright? Now, we come to the one that is really more relevant to us. There's an English word that says the machinations. Have you heard it before? Machination is from machine. Machinations. You know what's a machine? It is something you have designed to work and produce. So when you talk about machine, you are thinking about the mind, the soul. It's a machine. It's an industry that produces darkness. So you can use the word, the machinations. Okay, it comes from... And so darkness needs to be produced. It needs an environment to receive the darkness, incubate it, and generate it, and it grows. Amen. Okay, let's look at the scripture. It says, a little leaven, what does it do? Leaven the whole lot. Just with a little leaven, it begins to work and ferment and produce. Amen. So, they use the word egon, and every engineer or physicist man or mathematician in this room knows what egon means. It means force, energy. You know, in physics, you calculate the force and they work. Is that correct? Odele, is that correct? You calculate the force. When you talk about force, you must talk of work. The work done in lifting this object. Is it not? Uh-huh. So, and you are doing that because darkness has an energy on its own. When you are angry, do you do work? Your face tight. You don't have any muscles on your face. All of them, they contract. So you begin to spend it. After getting angry, you get weak. You have done work. Physical work. How about the energy in the soul? When you are excited, that is emotion now, working. Either excitement, you know, with different type of, either with food or some entertainment, whatever you like. When you are watching a football match, you burn energy. Pleasure is an energy. Who gets the offering? And that energy is heat. Somebody needs the heat. So the more you burn the energy, the more heat you get. And then somebody uses it. And I'm sure you know who that somebody is. Amen. Say amen now.
Amen.
Hallelujah. So we are looking at, this is the foundation of the walking of the soul. The walk. And of course, we saw the biggest, the strongest one. The energy of darkness. We call it Sapros. It gets bad. Every day it becomes bad. Every day. The world is becoming bad every day. Every day. I was somewhere, I was watching a program. They called the first person, he prayed. The man stood up and said, look, next time when we come to this kind of meeting, you don't need to pray. You just sing the national anthem. Because when you pray, you Christians, you might offend some of us who belong to some esoteric religions. So next time we just sing national anthem. National anthem is enough. Is it not enough? Because when you pray, you heard it now. When you pray, you offend some people. You offend the minority who don't want to pray. And you're becoming very popular. That's just an example of the darkness growing. It's just one realm of it. I remember the forms of darkness. There are different forms. It's walking everywhere. It's like a virus. Don't you understand? The darkness is like a virus. It's walking different realms, different dimensions. You can't control it. You touch cancer, it goes, it becomes another one. You touch it. Ebola has started again in DRC. You touch that one, it will jump to China and become a flu. You touch that one, it goes another place. Do you understand that? You are looking at something that is, you can't control it. It's everywhere. It's working. Hallelujah. But there's a control for it. Because Bible says that when you shall turn to the Lord, the veil will be broken. Hallelujah. So, this is just the first part. I just wanted to introduce our subject about the living soul. So, with this kind of background, it is very clear that something happened in the garden. Something bad happened in the garden. Because in the garden, God made a provision. He told the man, he gave him a river, he put a tree there, different trees. Say, look, that is your source of life. But don't touch this one. That's the only way the man could grow up. He had to have a choice. Amen. Somebody said, why did God go? He had to be there. To grow up, he had to have that choice. And of course, we know what happened. He fell into sin. And the fact that the man fell meant that the soul became an outcast. He lost the access to the life of God. That would say that Adam will walk with God in the cool of the day. Is it not? He was having fellowship. So there was life coming to him from God. He was assured. That access to God was assured. He was getting life from God. But one day, the Bible says, your sin have made a barrier, isn't it? So sin came in and made a barrier. And that source of life was cut off. Let's read one scripture. Revelation 22. Just to set a little bit more foundation. See, and he showed me a pure river of water, of life. So there are natural waters, but there are spiritual waters. The natural water is for this body that lives on a place called earth. The spiritual water of life is for the soul who operates in a spiritual realm. Yesterday we said that the body lives on earth, but the soul lives in heaven. So the soul is not bound to geography. The soul operates in a higher realm. And in that realm, there is a river of life. Hallelujah. There's also another river. We'll soon be talking about that other river. So there are different rivers running, depending on the one you are dealing with. We had the Red Sea, first river they had to cross, is it not? Then they crossed another one, Jordan, to get access to this one we're talking about now, this river of life. So it says, he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits, and yielded her fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. Amen. So, the this river is similar to the one we see in Genesis, you know, and God put that river to bring life to the soul. But let's look at Genesis 3. Something happened in Genesis 3. Something happened to Genesis 3, 24. So he drove out the man and he placed at the east of the garden of Eden cherubims and a flaming sword which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life. Verse 23 says, therefore the Lord God sent Adam forth from the garden of Eden to till the ground from whence it was taken. So, Adam, as a living soul, suddenly had no more life. Suddenly was an outcast like the devil. What do you think was going to happen? And here was the devil looking for life. Okay. You are beginning to get the picture. So, the Bible uses two terms, which I'm going to talk about quickly. The first one, it says, something called kings of the earth. And another one, merchants. Of the earth. There are two terms. And these two phrases, these two words, they originated from the garden. And they are as a result of the background I've been trying to lay. So, who is the king of the earth? Is it the president of America, Germany, all the, like right now they are talking, they are somewhere, they are having a meeting. Are those the kings of the earth? Alright, so what does kings of the earth mean? Who is the kings of the earth? Well, if you search very well, you can see where it happened. Where was it? The devil told somebody, you shall be as God. That was the temptation. And that's Genesis 3. He said, if you do so and so and so, you'll be a king. You'll be a god. You rule the whole world. You'll be a god of your own. You're of God's class. Why are you submitting to God? Come and join up with me. And we will do so and so and so. If you do so and so, you will be as gods. And the man fell for it. So in the prophetic language, kings of the earth speaks of the fallen soul, the fallen man, the fallen nature of man. And it is speaking of rebellion. So when you talk about kings of the earth, there is a spirit. There are actually two spirits. Well, let's talk about the first one. Rebellion. So the soul became a rebel. And because he became a rebel, God put him out of the garden. He said, no, put him out. Because that's the only way we can save him. Because if he stays there and touches the tree of life, he is healed. It's over. So God put him out quickly. But in putting him out, he lost access to life. Amen. And because he lost access to life, what did he become? Became a merchant. Huh? He's looking for life. He's looking for energy. Amen. He's looking for life. He's searching for, he's crying, seeking to touch, go back again and have some excitement, have some fun. Amen. You know? So are you surprised that you want to have some fun? Everything is done. You have to have ease. Chill. Mommy, I want to have some fun. Even we old people sometimes say, look, I've worked so hard. I need to have some fun. Amen. It is that today. It's something in the nature of this falling soul to have some fun, some energy, some heat. Amen. So, this is a very important thing. Merchant of the earth. A hunger, desire for life. Amen. And that brings us to something. And what does it bring us to? Buying. And is that what a merchant does? What is the work of a merchant? He must buy. So he must have something to buy, and he must have something to sell. Amen. So buying and selling. Who is buying and who is selling? Who is buying what and who is selling what? So what does my soul need? My soul needs life. It needs entertainment. It needs pleasure. Amen. But the devil is now in charge of darkness. Don't you understand? The energy. Man can't get this energy from God unless he meets certain conditions. He said he has put cherubims. The garden is there, but there are cherubims there. So man cannot just go. He must go through the cherubims. So it's easier to go to another level of energy. And what is that level of energy? Darkness. Because that darkness is light, according to God. So the soul said, well, do you know a man called Lot? The angel said, let's go up to the mountain. He said, oh my Lord, let your soul live. There is a little plain here called Zoar. Let my soul go there and stay. Let me not go to the mountain. Amen. So, instead of going up to God, it's easier to go to the flesh. Hallelujah. To get some life, to get some energy. So, the devil needs allegiance. The devil needs worship. The devil, we saw yesterday, wants to be the God of the soul. He wants to rule over the soul. He said, fine. I have access to darkness, the energy you need. I see a lot of people doing like this. Amen. So say praise the Lord. Amen. Okay, good. So the devil has the darkness. He's the king of the darkness. He said, if you want, you sell what I want. What does the devil? The devil wants to rule the soul. He wants allegiance. He wants worship. Okay, you want the scripture. He told Jesus, if thou be the Son of God, what do you do? Bow down and worship me. Amen. It hasn't changed. It's still the same temptation that is coming and the saying, bow down, submit, allegiance. And they came to Daniel. He said, look, whenever you hear the so-and-so-and-so trumpet, what do? Just bow down and worship. So what the devil needs from me and from you is submission, compromise. And if he cannot get it in a civilized form, he will try deception. He will try deception. So there's a spirit of deception walking within my soul. Amen. He's a great deceiver. So, if I don't submit, he comes and he tries deception. Praise the Lord. You're not responding, though. Amen. You need some violence in the faith, oh. Amen. You know, so buying and selling is a principle of darkness, a principle of receiving life. He says, none can buy except they have the mark of the beast. And yesterday we talked about that mark of the beast. The mark of the beast is the darkness that is being walked into the soul every day. The darkness that is being walked into the soul every day. So I'm going to go to the second part of this discussion. And I want to spend more time to talk about the merchant of the earth. So let's look at Exodus 12, verse 12. Exodus 12, verse 12. Exodus 12, verse 12. It says, for I will pass through the land of Egypt this night, and will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against the gods of Egypt, I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. So, there are so many things that have been addressed. One is Egypt. What is Egypt? Egypt, in this case, is a very important. It's a very important model or type that is being given to us. Yesterday night we said the light and the darkness must come to a full. You know, God is light, and the Bible says that light, as we saw, the light begins a journey at Passover. Passover means beginning. That is, the light comes into the soul and begins the journey of converting the soul from darkness to light. Every soul that comes into the world, say, he is the true light that lightens every soul. So every soul that comes into the world comes in the form of darkness and must come to Passover when the light, when Christ comes into that soul and begins to walk, to overtake, to convert the nature of the soul to become a place where the fullness of darkness, of light, is dwelling. That's what tabernacle means. It means the soul has now become a realm, that place, that habitation in which the light of God, God Himself, can fully manifest. Also, we also saw, the devil says, I will also go to the soul, and I will be as God in the soul. In other words, he also wants to the soul to come to fullness of darkness. The Bible refers to that as 666. It is a prophetic language speaking about the fullness of the rebellion. Man, the man that has completely turned away in his nature from God. There is no light at all in him. That is 666. And as you and I are talking, there are people who are working very hard to come into that experience. Just like you and I were also trying to work very hard to come into the experience in which the light of God will take over our soul. So there are two. There's a race. Who will get there first? And in Egypt, the two must walk. And the two are walking. And I want to take a little time to talk about it. Because for me, it gives us a prophetic calendar as to what is happening now. Amen. The change in the world, the change in the nature of the soul is for a purpose. Because darkness is working to come to a full. We saw in Revelation 12, it says there was war in heaven. But it says it did not prevail because there was no more space. In other words, in some people, they have succeeded to drive out the darkness. Amen. But if the darkness is driven, it comes down to the earth. So there is tribulation on the earth. And by the way, God brings that tribulation to force us to come up. Hallelujah. A God of faithfulness without injustice. So the tribulation is for good. Without tribulation, man will dwell on the earth. So God causes tribulation on the earth so that we will run and run up and come up to Zion. So I want to talk about the merchants of the earth. And there are five groups I want to touch. Amen. Say amen now.
Amen.
We are strong today.
Amen.
You know, remember we said that we have some milk today, but a lot of strong meat. And not just strong meat, we have bones. Amen.
Amen.
Do we need the meat and the bone? Well, praise God. You have to forgive me because that's what I'm serving today. Amen. Say amen. Well, you know they say 70, 70. Today is not till. Today is some strong meat. You have to chew it. That means you have to go home and chew it again. Amen. So you write it down. That's the only way now. You have to write it down. Go back and check. Amen. So we're looking at the merchant of the earth. It's the condition of the soul. Of the fallen man, the fallen nature of my soul. Amen. And we are trying to understand what is happening to me. The young girl is turning to be an adult. And there are changes in body, in soul. What is going on? You need to understand. That's what we are discussing today. Amen. Merchant of the soul, buying and selling. And the first example we are taking is Egypt. We are going to Egypt to examine how darkness grows. The process of sealing the soul with darkness. That's where we are going. That's the road we are taking. After that, we will see the process of sealing the soul with light. Amen. So this is a long journey. So get ready. Amen. So in Egypt, we had the gods of Egypt, about 10 of them. I haven't gone historical that to tell you their names. Each one of them has a name. If you go to if you have a Bible dictionary, go and check it. They have different names. They worship. The Egyptians worship everything on earth, everything. They worship the air, they worship the water, they worship the river, they worship the shoe, they worship the ant, they worship the frog, they worship the sun, they worship this, everything. Amen. They worship flies. Yes. They worship flies. Fly is a god in Egypt. Amen. Hallelujah. And Egypt is the world, is it not? So he's speaking about the world. You know, today, there are different types of idols, is it not? Idol of phone.
Yeah.
An iPad. Okay, she has got the message. Okay, and so on. So Egypt, that's just like us. Different type of idols. Now, in Egypt, The first, we're going to have a crisis here. Can I have a little something to clean? I think I have to clean some things here to go on. I need to clean this side so that we can examine. Now, the first symbol in Egypt is the snake, is the serpent. Someone was talking about it the other day, the serpent. Okay. Now, what is the thing about the serpent that talks about the soul? The serpent has many meanings, but one major one that I'm interested in is that it has that every part of the serpent is on the ground. Is that correct? Everything from head to toe, it is completely earthbound. But that serpent was not earthbound from the beginning. It used to be a flying serpent before God caused it. So it's much like man, isn't it? Man was walking in the heavens, and when sin came, he became earthbound. So that serpent speaks of a nature of the soul. Amen. So, man in his desire is completely earthbound. That is the lowest form of man. For today, I will use here and discuss the desire in the four natures of the soul. The desire is the lowest, and it is like the serpent. Is earth bound. There are some creeping things. They have multiple legs, isn't it? Those multiple legs, what do they do with it? It's to allow it to function on the earth. So it's more earth bound. So God says that anything that creeps is unclean to you. You will not eat it. Eat it means you will not be like it. You will not have that nature. So the serpent gets the energy, his life, his heat, he gets it from the earth. So it's crawling on the earth, it's earthbound, he gets it from the earth. So the first thing Adam, the devil did to the soul, was to bring that nature of the serpent. The serpent came to him, and Adam bought it. So if you look at the head of the Egyptian Pharaoh, what do you see? You see the serpent. The serpent also means other things. This, one of the most important meanings of the serpent is that it speaks of deception, the spirit of deception. And somebody says, the man that is deceived is the man that says, I cannot be deceived. If you see somebody that says, I cannot be deceived, he's already deceived. Amen. Because deception can catch anybody. So, the devil is a great deceiver. He gets life by deception, by trickery. You know, he gets life by trick. So, the first one we're looking at is the serpentine nature. That, you know, and in Egypt, this was the first god that was judged. Is that not so? The very first thing that had to be addressed was the serpentine nature. You see, Moses going against those gods and bringing judgment. And he's also saying the same thing to us. If you and I want to overcome, we must deal with the earthbound nature. That craving, something in my appetite that craves after the earth. Somebody says, set your affection on the things above. Is it, you know about it? Uh-huh. Say, set your affections. So if you want to judge the earth, if you want to overcome, you must begin to pay attention to your appetite. You must pay attention to the pool, the attachment to things of the world. The energy, you get it. You know, if you are involved in the world, that means you don't let the energy of the world get into you. You know, Paul said we should use the world and not the world use us. There are two different things. We're in the world, but we use the world. We don't let the world use us. We're not ruled by the things. But how many of us can overcome that? Amen. Now, the second one is the Nile. The Nile River was a god in Egypt. The Nile is the longest river flowing in Egypt. And naturally, the whole Egypt depends on the Nile for it. So if you take away the Nile, Egypt is destroyed. And it seeks in the spirit of something, of a connection. The Nile speaks of a connection between the soul and darkness. The Nile represents the source of darkness into the soul. It's about asking, why are you saying so? When we go to the second one, the third plague, the frog was also a god. This one was a god, obviously. But where did the frogs come from? Who knows? The frogs came from the Nile. So you see where we are going to? So the frogs came out of the river, and what does the frog represent? You go to Revelation 16. What does it say about the frog? It says there were three unclean spirits that came from where? From the mouth of the frog. Not dragon, from a frog. Revelation 16. Amen. So this frog represents a source of evil spirits. And the frog themselves came from the river. Amen. So the frogs speak of it speaks of the overshadowing of the soul. I use the word the seeding of the soul with evil spirits. I use the word seeding. You know what is a seed? I use the word seeding of the soul. As the frogs come, they come with it, spirits into the soul. Amen. And guess where the frogs go to? Say they went to the bed. Is that true? They went to the cooking utensils. They went to the source of the river. All the places where you have life, they enter there. They jumped on the bed. So he's speaking about these spirits getting into the soul and seeding themselves into the soul. So you can see the progression of the darkness. You see the river flowing, bringing a flood. Remember the flood? He said that the devil poured out a flood out of his mouth. Is that not so?
Yes.
And the flood was directed at the church, at the woman, to carry the woman away. So there is a flood coming from the mouth of the devil. And with it comes these frogs, this unclean spirit. And it's all directed at the soul. Now, the next thing you see there are the creeping things. Some translation will call it vermin. Vermin. Or gnats, they were all crawling, earthbound creatures. And the purpose of faith was to bring the appetite of the soul and make it earthbound. You see, the devil is pulling down the soul and binding it on the earth. So it's not something that happened today. So right from the beginning, there has been a working in the soul to make the soul earthbound. And this is another step in that direction. Now, the fifth one, somebody mentioned it, are the flies. The flies indicate something that has decayed. Indicates a corpse or something dead. But more importantly, something that has, that is lifeless. It doesn't have no life of God. No life of God in it. That is flies. So you can see the progression. There are things that we like, but it doesn't have the life of God in them. Amen. And the purpose is to make the appetite more earthbound. After 6 hours of Nollywood, type 1, type 2, type 3, the emotions are more earthbound. Isn't it not so, brother? Yeah. Abuja Girls 1, Abuja Girls 2, Abuja Girls 3. At the end of those Abuja Girls, your emotions are more earthbound. Amen.
Amen.
God will deliver my soul. You know, when you're on television, we are looking at flies. Flies. God will deliver me for television. Because when you're there, you see the man that he has shaved this side of his hair. He has shaved the other one, and he has colored it yellow. And then he has a long one hanging down, and at the end he will say rebel. Rebel. He will put a label on that hair dropping. Rebel. He's a rebel, and he's a star. That is called flies. Dead. No life of God. And I spending time on it. My appetite. So he's buying and selling. I'm getting entertainment, but the devil is getting allegiance. He's getting worship. That's what is called the worship of the image of the beast. Amen. Say amen now. Say amen. When you say amen, it means the devil, I reject it. You know, when you say amen, it means you're not protecting football anymore. Bro, I can't do like this. We are not protecting football anymore. No, use your hand. We're not protecting football anymore. Amen. Hallelujah. You say, no, now they want to take away even this little one we're enjoying. They want to take it again. So which one shall we enjoy now? Everything has gone through the window. Eh? Would you leave anyone for us so that we can enjoy? Amen. Flies. No life of God. Devoid of the life of God. I'll give you an example. When the children of Israel came out of Egypt, they entered the wilderness. Do you know we are in wilderness now? Port Harcourt is wilderness. Oh, you didn't know? Oh, yes, wilderness. Yes, wilderness. That's where we are. Lifeless. But when they got there, they said, Moses, come. Give us the cucumbers, the onions, the garlic. Now, they say, those cucumbers, some of those things they were asking for, they don't have any nutrients. No nutrients. The leeks, So most of them didn't have any nutrients. Just that the food we are used to, it's like Oboroko. Do you like stockfish? It's a flat. Eh? But we like the stockfish. A chaff, we're not getting anything. The time you boil your soup, after 2 days, you use all that thing. That thing you plug on the wall. I mean, chan-an-an-an. What's that thing now? You make the food hot. What's that thing? Microwave. Microwave. Everything is dead. You are eating chaff. But when you are eating it, you feel good. You balance. Amen. So microwave doesn't make you a big man, though. You are burning your food. Amen. So, there are many things in life that we are addicted to, but no life. That is the flying. Okay, so let's go to the next one quickly. Well, coming to the big ones now. This one, the animals began to die, such as the bull, the cattle. By the way, all of them were gods. They just buried, they found a cattle, a bull buried with gold. That it was encased in, I don't know how many carats of gold. That is high level gold. The bull was actually buried like a human being. In Egypt, they buried them like human beings because it was a god. Amen. So they worship these animals, but it's similar to what we find. There's something called Baphomet. What does Baphomet mean? Is a calf god. It's like a goat. It looks like a goat. There are different designs of it. There is a new one now they have in the market. There is this drink that is like this. Do you know it? Is it one of these energy drinks? Monster. Yeah, how many people drink Monster here? Yeah, you want energy. You don't want to raise your hand again. Raise your hand. You drink Monster. Monster is Baphomet. The two horns. Horn number one, horn number two. It is an occultic symbol. Alright? And so it comes in different forms. And the Baphomet, was a cult. They call it the animal cult. It's an animal cult. And part of that cult is the skinhead. Do you know what is the skinhead? Have you seen any hair on the goat before? Huh? The goat has hair. Or you seen a serpent that has hair? How many serpents do you know that have hair? So, they call it a skinhead cult. And it's actually a worship of this cult. They call it Baphomet. And it is, one, it's a symbol of rebellion. And then the worship of darkness. Now, the rebellion goes with witchcraft. And witchcraft means alternative government. Witchcraft means alternative government. The government of darkness. The government of Nimrod. The government of man. Contrary to the rule of God over the soul. That's the whole purpose of witchcraft. Sorcery. Witchcraft. Alright? And now, this theme, you find it in, it has been very carefully mixed through life, particularly with entertainment, industry. Parents need to be very careful. Now, they have a lot of slogans that go with all this. I'm not going to get into all that, but you need to look. So what are we saying? Now, there are different dress patterns, different lifestyles that are meant to rebel against the set order. You understand? For instance, if you wear a cap in front, where must you wear the cap in front? You turn it around. It's style, but it's rebellion. It's a symbol of rebellion. Amen. The boy should propose to the girl. Why must only boys propose to girl? Girl can also propose to the boy. After all, the girl has power. Girl power. Bafflement. Witchcraft. Alternative government. Amen. It goes, you know, it's a theme, it's woven through, you know, so many things, innocence, everything, it just goes deep. Alright? So I have to go on because this can take my time. Let's go to the next one. We can take it in the questions. Now, the next thing that happened in Egypt was what? Was the boils. And the boil is a breakdown. Breakdown of the flesh. The flesh was given as a covering. And the breakdown is because there's no more life coming from God. So the flesh is breaking down and you have disease. Because no life, no flow of life from God. Amen. So there was a plague of boils. And we have seen a lot of that. We have seen the HIVs. We have seen different kinds of disease. The leukemias, you know, the Ebola. All those are breakdown. A man has broken the law. You know, it says type and type. They say no. Why must type and type? So it must be man and man can also mix, and that's breaking the law. And when you break the law, there are diseases that follow it. That's a breakdown of the barrier. So the barrier of male and female. We look at a man, he's no longer a man. So, you can argue about it. I can argue about it. I can wear trousers. I can do this. You are dealing with the spirit. As you are submit, the only devil only wants you to submit. You submit, the spirit comes into your soul and grows. You find it more difficult to pray and to do it because there are spirits that you have now submitted to. So, the grammar about wearing trousers, not dressing, all those things. Even with the men, you see the homosexuals, the trousers are getting tighter and tighter. Even among brethren in this fellowship. All the thing is coming out. Yes. All the thing is coming out. Okay, have you forgiven me for talking about it? Forgive me now. But it's a homosexual spirit. And it's a spirit of rebellion. May God have mercy on me. Begin from me. Amen. The next one was the hail. The big boys are coming now. Hail. The hail has to do with the heavens. The heavens rule over the soul. Now, this is what the devil has been looking for. Opportunity to rule over the soul. You see how, where he started? He has been pulling down the soul. I'm trying to create a picture. He's been pulling down the soul, down and down and down and down to his level. And at this point, it's ready for him to manifest. Amen. So there's a new god of the earth, and it's darkness and the devil. The devil is more popular than God. Christians are becoming more minority, and we are going to go still more into minority. Amen. So we are somewhere down there now. We are somewhere around the 8th. You know, according to my own calendar. I'm not telling you. I may be wrong. Okay. The Bible talks about the prince of the power of the air. Is it in your Bible? Prince of the power of the air. That air is talking about the heavens. Of course, the second heavens. The first heaven, the one you see physically, is not our business. We're not talking about that. We're talking about the second heaven. And somebody says, I will rule in that heaven. Because somebody else is ruling in the third heaven. Don't you understand? God is in the, he said, the heavens, and the heavens of heavens belong to God. It's okay, no problem. Let me come down to the second one. Amen. And establish my authority. And God established this fellowship to drive the devil from the second heaven. Amen. That's why we are here. And we seem to have lost that energy. Okay, not you. I'm talking about myself. I'm using me to judge. Because I seem to have lost that biting edge to drive the devil from my soul. Hallelujah. That's the only edge. Hallelujah. Not just prosperity. Those ones are chicken feed. The energy is that God wants a people that will be the arrowhead to drive the devil from this heaven. So God had to judge the heavens. So there was hail. Fire was running on the ground. Fire, even in fact, it was fire mixed with ice. So God judged the heavens. It is a prophetic word to you and I that God wants to judge the heavens over our soul. He says there's war in heaven. And there was no more space. It's a prophetic word. I can believe it and draw energy from it. Amen. I cannot overcome a spirit I submit to. That is the law of warfare. If you want to overcome a spirit, you stop submitting to it. And this weekend is supposed to give you us the energy to rebel against it, a rebel. The devil is the devil. We need to rebel against him. I said, we are going to the right God. Amen. You will no more rule over my heavens. There is only one God, and that God is Christ. Amen. So, in the prophetic measurement, I think that's where the world, that's where we have gotten to now. I think we've covered virtually all this stuff. But I think we are around the 8. But there are still stronger ones coming. What's the right one coming? The big man. What's the big man? Nobody cares. Locust. Somebody has to bring the darkness. What does the locust do? The locust goes for the green part of the tree. What does green mean in space of intimacy, privacy? Can you imagine me driving on the road and a man is facing the road? That is his toilet. That's the locust. That is the locust spirit walking around. I am driving on the road. Somebody has left his house. He's now on the road to ease himself. I saw one, somebody said, what are you doing? He said, I'm easing myself. I said, is that your toilet? So the locust is here. And it is eating intimacy. And the first intimacy you will eat is that between you and God.
Yes.
The first intimacy that will go is that green, that place of privacy, of, you know, that soft place, that place where you hear the voice of God, that place of life. You will eat it. Amen. So, you will get very busy so that you don't have time to pray. No time for quiet time. No, there's no time for all time. Where you touch heaven. You know, the soul must touch heaven. The soul must have a place where I lift up my soul. You must have that time. Amen. But the devil will keep you busy. You run from here, you do assignment, do report. Would you feed your family? You feed your family. You have a, like the sister said, she wants to be a professor. Don't you want to? Others have become me too. You don't want me. The Lord that took me up will not break me. This is what I say. Amen. Yes. This all is our field. Tomorrow, come here tomorrow, you will be looking for seed. Okay, sorry. Have you forgiven me for saying that? I didn't know why I said it. Please forgive me for saying that. Sister, have you forgiven me? Come and clean my mouth for something. Clean it. Let me clean it. No, no, I have to clean it. I'm cleaning, I've cleaned my mouth too. Okay. Forgive me for saying. Amen. Amen. The devil will fight you. And there are spirits called locust spirits. I've seen them in the spirit, though. I haven't seen the physical, but I've seen them. Some of them carry disease. They are flying around. If any little, they hit. So there are local spirits. And there's this one in Revelation 9. It said that they attack any man who does not have the seal of God in his mind. Do you understand? Revelation 9. Maybe we should read it. Brother, show us that one. Let's touch that once more. I'm running to finish. But just permit me to. Let's touch that one. Where is it? Verse 4, 3 and 4. And it was commanded them that they should not hurt the grass of the earth, neither any green thing, neither any tree, but only those men. So it tells you, these are not natural locusts. Natural locusts is going for tree. This one says, don't go for the tree. This one goes for men. And it goes for the mind. Only those men who have not what? The seal of God in their forehead. So the thing is, the fact that I am getting a seal in my mind, I'm not doing anybody a favor. The thing that sees is the word. He said there is a man, an angel coming from the east with he's coming to seal the mind. If I don't seal my mind, there's no grammar. The locust is coming. And he's looking for the mind that is not sealed. What does he do? Sting it. Amen. And he says it comes with a torment of 5 months. 5 is the number of ministries, isn't it also? 5 is the opposite of grace, isn't it also? 5 is grace. But the locust comes with another 5. Torment. So that the man, you begin to desire death. Can you imagine a man desire those lifeless things? You begin to desire it in the mind. Hallelujah. I find myself bound to things that don't give life. It's possible I have been beaten by the locust. Amen. Hallelujah. But there's a remedy. That remedy is the ministry from the east. Amen. That ministry is coming to seal the forehead. To heal the forehead. It says whenever that river comes, anything it jams will be healed. Amen. Even this weekend, may you heal my mind. Amen. It will heal and erase it. Hallelujah. Amen. We need to go on. So that is the locust. You can look it up, you know. But the locust has one mission. It is to bring darkness. Because right after the locust, guess what? Darkness. for 3 days. So this one, in fact, the Bible said that anything the hail did not destroy, the locusts made sure they were destroyed. So locust comes to clear anything that is remaining of the life of God, the fear of God. That's what's happening now. The locust spirit is wiping out the fear of God from the earth. Clear it. From the church, clear the, everything about the sobriety, reverence, wipe it out. And then with it comes darkness for 3 days. And the Bible said that darkness covered Egypt. Do you know why? The Egyptians worshipped the sun. By the way, this locust was also a god, though. You can check it up in history, in dictionary. The sun was a god. Amen. Somebody said, you come out to Egypt and you look up in the sky, you see the sun. The sun is there every day. For as long as you can remember, the sun is there. They said, no, this thing must be a god. They started to worship the sun. And, they began to build those things, the pyramids, the sphinxes. And all of them are facing the east. And all of them have a mathematical... In fact, somebody says, if you run a line from Egypt, it runs through Washington, runs through all the major cities in the U.S., and runs around. They call them so there's a lot of mathematical thing in it. So it's not as simple as you're looking at. So, but what were we saying? That in Egypt, they worship the sun. So the sun worship was a cult anyway. How would God judge the sun god? Bring darkness 3 days. So it was trying to break their reverence for their god. Don't you understand? Amen. God had to touch it, and he broke it. Is it possible that there are sun worshippers in this room? Is it possible? Am I a sun worshipper? He told Ezekiel, go, dig. Enter the temple. He said he saw men, 25 men. Is it 70 men? With their backs turned, facing the east. That's Ezekiel 8. So he found them in the church. In fact, they said they were even weeping for Tammuz. Okay, so those are some deep, deep things, right? So we need to look at it. Am I a sun worshipper? When things are good, praise the Lord. When things are bad, is there a sun worshipper? Amen. They call the fair weather friends. It says a rich man has many friends. A poor man, that even when he pursued them with words, they're still running from him. Amen. That's some worship. Lovers of pleasure, more than lovers of God. When you worship pleasure, what do? You go to Tunisia, where there is how many hours of sun, you lie down in the sun with lemonade. You lie down in the sun with lemonade and you drink. You turn again for the sun to beat you. What is that called? The lovers of pleasure. Okay, you and I, we're not going there. But you are in Port Harcourt. Which one is your own form of sun worship, if at all? So me and you will have to look at it. And may the Lord help me to discern it, because it's hidden. Amen. Now, we'll begin to close. Now, we'll go to 11. Midnight. Amen. This is where the devil is going to. Midnight. He wants midnight. He wants darkness to completely drive out light in the soul. He must sign a man. He must sign some people who say, I don't want light. I don't want God. You see, they are lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. He said, that has loved righteousness and what? Hated wickedness. He gives you those two extremes. So, are there souls that are so committed? He said, I don't want even light. Brother Bot was telling us that there are some of these spirits that are so bad, that are so evil, so dark in nature, that even physical sunlight they don't even want. So they follow the night through the world. Don't you understand? As it gets dark, they follow it. Well, that's why they say sometimes if you want to pray, you pray in the night. Well, I'm not preaching that to you. I'm just telling you that there are some dark nature spirits. You should be aware of them. By the way, somebody said most of the breakthroughs that people got was at midnight. Is there something there for you? But Isaac would say, don't make sure you don't sleep too much. Try and affect some midnight. Take some night off in the early part before you sleep, and the ones you wake up, try and do some. It may be helpful. By the way, say Jesus wake up a great while before. Is that midnight prayer? I don't know. But he woke up a great while before. If Jesus woke up a great while before, it might be helpful for me. Amen.
Amen.
I didn't say she got the midnight prayer. I'm just telling you what I've seen in Scripture. Amen.
Amen.
Because there are dark spirits. Hallelujah. By the way, midnight can be physical, can be spiritual. You understand? When the problem is thick, it may be at midnight. That is the time you need to pray to also overcome. So that brings us to the fullness of it. Number 12. What do you think would be number 12? No? It would be the firstborn. Midnight must bring firstborn. So the devil is going for the firstborn of the devil. The Bible says at midnight, the firstborn of Pharaoh, the firstborn of his servants, the firstborn, or even the slave, the firstborn, or even the prisoner in the dungeon. Every firstborn in Egypt, God judged. Amen. So, is there a prophetic calendar in this? I will encourage you to go and search. But when I look at this, it gives me an idea where we are. When things happen, I try to use this as my own prophetic calendar to see what's going on. So, are we at midnight yet? If you have run with the footmen and they wearied me, at midnight has not yet come. We're all gasping. We're saying, God, please give us some time in this protocol. Let's get some rest. What will midnight be like in protocol? Can you imagine the governor of River State as an open court man? It's an open gangster. Yeah, you can't go and vote. They rigged the election and put their man. He's now the governor of River State. Huh? Imagine a River State like that. Amen. Say amen now. Try to imagine what it would be like. Hallelujah. So the Bible says, a wise son will gather in the harvest. Amen. Say amen now.
Amen.
A wise son will gather. See, it's a foolish son that will not make preparation in harvest and wait for winter to start to prepare. And winter is coming. And he said, in that day, pray that your flight be not in winter. Hallelujah. So this should be a wake-up call for us that the evil days are yet to come. It's very bad now, but it's going to be worse. If there is any language, it's going to be worse or badder along the way. There are some bad local spirits that I see warming up to come on the scene. Amen. So we are the firstborn. We are the firstborn of darkness. But the good news, it was not only the firstborn of darkness, there was also the firstborn of God. Amen. Hallelujah. So you and I must choose which firstborn we are going to be. Are we going to be part of the firstborn of light? The Bible says the man that breaks the mattress, like we saw this morning, somebody this afternoon, we had the firstborn experience now. Amen. Straight from hospital into church. Firstborn. Hallelujah. You broke something. Okay, so God is producing firstborns of Israel. And firstborn of darkness. He says, Israel is my firstborn. Let him go, or I will kill your firstborn. Hallelujah. So there is a command from heaven to release my soul. Amen. I know it. I don't know if you have realized it. There is a command. Say, he that is righteous, let him continue to be righteous still. He that doesn't want to be righteous, you have freedom. Amen. So you and I will determine how far we are going to go. Praise the Lord. So we will close that bit. We will now enter into the we are entering to the last phase of this meeting. Now remember, we're talking about the merchants of the earth, the workings of the soul to get energy, the workings of the soul in mixing with darkness, and the effect of that darkness on the soul. That's what we'll be discussing. So Egypt is one pattern. There are a few other ones I would like to touch on quickly. It won't take time. The next group, we've talked about, this is Egypt. The next group is the Philistines. Some of them I will mention so that you can look at it and study it at home. Now, the Philistines, it means to roll in the mud. Rolling in the mud. Rolling in the mud. Or in the earth. In other words, it's earthbound. The same earthbound nature. And the Philistines, they had five lords. There are five lords of the Philistines. Five of them. And these five lords, you can say they also represent the five senses in the body, the five senses in the soul, and the five senses in the spirit. The same five senses are everywhere. Those are the level, depending on whatever level you are dealing with. The first of these lords, I'll just mention it and pass because of time. The first of these lords is Gaza. Gaza. Gaza means a stronghold. And many of us are contending against the strongholds. And these strongholds have to do with appetite, have to do with our buying comfort, buying energy, buying pleasure. All right? There are many strongholds that we are contending against. So, it's an example of Gaza. The next one is Ashdod. Ashdod means destruction. The Bible says in Revelation 9, the head spirit over the locust, his name is Apollyon. Apollyon was the name of the spirit, the ruler of this locust. And Apollyon means destruction, waster. All right? So, destruction, waste, ruin. The next one Destruction, ruin. R-U-I-N. Destruction, ruin. The next one is Gath. And Gath means wine, merriment, pleasure. Can you imagine that? And guess where Samson went to find his wife? Is it by chance? Samson was looking for a wife and he went to wine. He went to merriment to get a wife. To get something to have fun, to satisfy. Remember, the soul is looking for energy. And it goes to God. As it goes to God, it is bound more into a stronghold that needs to be delivered from. Amen. From there, what do you have? Ashkelon. Shekel is the currency of trade. The shekel is what you use to trade. It's a currency. In the temple in Israel, it was shekel. Ashkelon, of course, tells you what it means. It's a merchant spirit. Huh? So it's a merchant. Merchant of what? Merchant of pleasure. Well, I have a good name for it. Pleasure-seeking lifestyle. This is the kind of lifestyle you see among, well, let me not say youth. It's common among the youth. But among young men who have money, who are beginning to see some money, they seek fun, seek pleasure. Let me take my family for holiday. To show. Amen. I'm not saying, if God tells you to go, you go. But I'm addressing the mentality. Amen. Pleasure-seeking lifestyle. I sit up at night. And I cannot sit up at night for night watch. The problem is not sitting up at night to do what you are doing on your phone. The problem is not having the same energy to seal your forehead with the scripture. That's where the problem is. Amen. So if one overweighs the other one, then you might find you are now in Ashkelon. That lifestyle has taken over. I remember Brother Bot watched us. He wondered, he said, look, you guys, you have done well in poverty. When there was nothing at all, you were all very much on fire. Now money has come. The children have been trained to be pleasure-seeking rather than sons of God. Junior, no, Junior, in night vigil, there's no bed for Junior to lie down. So Junior cannot come for night vigil. Junior cannot come for night vigil. There's no bed for Junior. So Junior must stay under air condition. Because there are mosquitoes. In fact, they open the window. A mosquito is biting Junior. Look at his skin. Can you imagine his skin? Skin of Junior. By 1 o'clock, Junior has eaten 5 biscuits and drank Fanta. 1 o'clock in the church, Junior has eaten 5 biscuits and Fanta. Why? Because see, I didn't eat 5 biscuits and Fanta, so I let my son eat the one I didn't eat. Ashkelon. Pleasure seeking. So we're teaching the children. Amen. They know more about pleasure than being sons of God. Amen. Okay, well, only me is allowed to say amen. Hallelujah. Remember, I'm cleaning my mouth. All these words I'm saying, I'm cleaning. Let me clean it very well. Sister J. Pray will help me to clean the mouth very well. All right. Now, let's take the last one, Ekron. But just mentioning and passing. Try and dig into them. You will see a lot there. Ekron means to pull up by the roots. put up by the root. Can you imagine a name like this? From what I understand, that's you go and plant, water, fast, 7 days fast, 3 days fast. You have planted, you have labored. Nice vigil, you have planted. The man says, let him finish now. Let him finish now. You finish, then he comes and push it. That means it is going to be perpetually a desert. Wasteland. Fruitful, unfruitfulness. That means the devil wants to make sure they are not unfruitful. That we are unfruitful in every good work. No fruit of the Spirit. We are contending with spirit of divisions, pride, anger, harshness. Do it now. I don't know when I started saying now. May God take away now from my mouth. It's a sign of impatience. Do it now. Bro, do you say now? Okay. So, yeah, I thought you would not be saying now. It's amongst us. Sit down now. I said, I'm sorry. Please help me beg my wife. I'll be telling you, I'm sorry. I said, do it now. Amen. Hallelujah. Ekron. Pulled up. Okay, so with that way, we will pass over the Philistines. Let's go quickly to the Amorites. Remember, this is 1, 2. The third one are the Amorites. Sorry, just pardon me, I'm just rushing. Now, the Amorites were mountain dwellers. Generally, they are mountain dwellers. They are Canaanites. They are sons of Canaan, who was the son of Ham. You understand? So you see where they're coming from. Now, the Amorites are known for their pride. You see, a Nigerian, they are known for their pride. They are mountain dwellers, high-minded. They dwell on the mountain. And the Amorites had you read among the Amorites, go to Deuteronomy, Deuteronomy 1 to 10. Beautiful place. If you want to relax, go to Deuteronomy, just read. You'll be blessed. There are two kings, Og and Sihon. I asked God, what's all this Og and Sihon business? Og and Sihon. And then God began to open it up. Og means circle. Sihon means temper. Tempestuous. Temper. Sihon means tempestuous, to be temper, to throw a tantrum. And they were all giants. But he told them, Og means circle, S-C-I, a circle, round. And then this one means temper, to be tempestuous. So, in the spirit, it was very easy for me. I'm sure you know what that means. This one means desire. This one means emotion. And when you add two of them, you get passion. Desire, circle. It's a bottomless pit. It doesn't end. Amen. And then the other one means emotions, passion. Now, how is it that he said they must overcome these two giants to cross over? Don't you understand? And it's not just that. When they actually killed these two giants, their land became the first portion of the land of Israel. Amen. So the tribe of God, of, is it Simeon, or is it Reuben? Reuben, and the half-tribe of Manasseh. They said, give us this land. It was the land of Bashan, the bulls of Bashan. Beautiful country. Amen. But there are giants there. So you have to overcome the giants to possess the land. It's not much like our soul. The two major, well, I have actually drawn it wrongly. This should be the wheel. So permit me, let me explain this. This should be the wheel. And then this will be the two big boys. You know the big boys? Emotion and desire. And this is the plane. Horizontal. Man to man. Man to man. You find internet here. You find Twitter here. You find, what's the other one? WhatsApp. Facebook. Man to man. The internet heat. Do you know the internet heat? You check it, you see the heat, man talking to man, chat, social. Amen. Say amen now. When I overcome, I enter the promised land. Hallelujah. So I'm not going very far. I know what I need to overcome. I must overcome. Hallelujah. So he told them, these two giants, you must overcome them. And it is such an interesting thing that they were actually killed. They overcame them. And they entered. So we sing in that song, we are able to go up and take the country. Though the giants may be on the way to hinder, God will surely give us the victory. Only move on to the righteousness, not righteous side, righteousness of God. Amen. So brethren, we need to come up to the righteousness of God. What is the righteousness of God? I will show you. The mind is the gateway into the soul. If you want to change your emotion, it's not by will. I will not. That waste of time. Invest on the mind. Amen. The word of the Lord converts the soul. Hallelujah. Don't you understand? That word of God that comes will begin to change your emotion and your appetite. And the emotion and appetite begins to rise in God. Amen. As the mind rises to God, it pulls up every other thing. Amen. Hallelujah. It's possible to overcome. How do you overcome? Say, how shall a young man cleanse his way? By doing what? Taking heed to the word. Say, thy word have I seen that I may. So if there's a man that is sinning, what do you do? Hide the word. Forget about concentrate on the word. Word morning, word afternoon. Like we told you yesterday, every day is fellowship. Fellowship. Fellowship in the morning. Fellowship in the afternoon. Fellowship in the evening. Amen. It's a fellowship in the road. Fellowship when you sit down. Fellowship when you stand up. Proverbs says that the word of God will speak to you when you are sleeping. When you wake up, it will greet you. When you walk, it will lighten your road. Amen. So the word is a lamp to my feet. Amen. So let me recommend Psalm 119. If you want to fall in love, go and read it very well. You will love the word. Say, thy word have I loved, and I have put away evildoers from me. The tempters came and tempted me, but thy servant, O Lord, putteth my hope in you. Amen. Hallelujah. Okay, so I think that should get done with Amorite. Let's quickly go, and we're ending. Okay, quickly. The fourth one is Moab. And the fifth one is what? It's Amalek. I'm running out of time now. Now, these are the five principal spiritual workings in the soul. God has used it to show different parts. So I would encourage us to go and look at it. But let me touch Moab because it's very important. Moab is a homosexual spirit. It means of the father. It means of the father. That is daughter plus father. That is man to man. Man to man will only end in Moab. Amen. Man to man will only end in man. It will never go beyond man. And when Elimelech went to Moab, you see what happened to him? He could not find God in Moab. Hallelujah. So a man that goes to the mind, to the world. And man to man, it speaks of man-made organizations. Man-made organizations. Bible calls them ships. With their captains. Where do they operate? In the sea. And the sea is what? Humanity. So be very careful of CNN. Be very careful of BBC. Be very careful of organizations. Ideas. Because you are entering into the realm of Moab. Amen. We are in the world. But we must not be off the world. Amen. Yes, you walk in the university. You walk somewhere. But the spirit of that organization must not rule and overtake you. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Because your spirit must overcome that of the organization. You are a lawyer. The lawyer's spirit must not overcome the spirit of Christ. But Christ must bring the law. Hallelujah. And you become a Christian lawyer. Amen. Amen. That is the principle of Moab. Man-made organizations. Man to man. And do you know what they are? They swallow the ship captains and the ship masters. They are ships, organizations. They swallow you. You like what they're offering you, isn't it? The oil company like young men between 20 and 30 and 35 at most. They work them to death. But they give them a lot of money. Amen. On Sunday, no, I'm on the ship. Just pray for me, I'm on the ship. Next Sunday, I'm on the ship. What are you doing? You're walking. Amen. But your bank account is growing higher and higher. Amen. Okay. Amalek, you can go and see Amalek. But it says, God will make perpetual war with Amalek. Somebody say generation to generation. What is that thing that God will love, hate so much that he said he will make war against Amalek? Do you know why? Amalek opposes the principle of God to make you a son of God. God says, therefore, I will make war with Amalek. I know Amalek, when your hand is high, you overcome. When your hand is down, it comes up. Amen. You overcome now. You fasted 2-3 days, it runs away. After about 3 days fast, it lands again. Amen. You are dealing with a spirit, a spiritual principle. So he's saying that that kind of war, he said this type does not go out by fasting, except by fasting and prayer. And it requires continuous assault, continuous confrontation. So to bring this whole thing to an end, where do we end now? So permit me to use this number 3. So this is 2. This was number 1. The opposite of all that I'm saying is what? Is that we must feed on Christ. That's the opposite of all that we are saying. Feeding on Christ. Amen. The soul must feed on Christ. So we'll just take like a few minutes and then we'll close. Now, there are some principles we have been given about feeding on Christ. Now, what's the principle? In the tabernacle, where is it that people eat? Where do the priests eat in the tabernacle? Is it in the outer court, holy place, or holiest of all? Holy place. Where are you? Where is your own level of tabernacle? Are you in the outer court or in the holy place? All right. God bless you, sister. Sister is in the holy place. Amen. Hallelujah. So, when they eat, they take the food to the holy place, the priest. So, God has a provision for the priest. Who is the priest? The soul is the priest. So, there's a place where God will feed the soul. I remember, the chief part of the soul is that mind, isn't it? That mind. There's a place where God has made the provision to nourish the mind, to nourish the emotions, and it is in the holy place. Amen. So when you are in the outer court, when I am in the outer court, my soul will be emaciated. My soul will be famished. I will have spiritual kwashoko, as it were. There will be pining. There will be disease. Amen. And the place where the priest eats is called the table of showbread. It's a place where there is fresh bread. If you read the, I think it's Leviticus 8. If you look somewhere, it says, every week, every Sabbath, you take away the old bread and bring a new set. There were 12 of them. 6. In two rows. Every Sabbath, you remove the old one and you bring a new one. What's God saying to you? You remove the old one and bring. So you can't say, well, I ate the other one, so this one, let's keep it, because it might now become stale. So there is stale bread. There is bread, but it is stale. And stale bread cannot meet the need of today. It was good in the year 12,000. 12,000, is it 12? It was good. But in 2017, that brand cannot give you energy to overcome those locusts we are talking about. Amen. So you must get the bread for today. How do you get it? By going before His presence. It is the bread of His presence. We sang a song yesterday. Sometimes our life surprises. A Christian, why he prays. It is the Lord who rises with healing in His wings. Where is that healing? In His presence. Do you dwell in His presence? What is the preoccupation of your mind? Is it news, current affairs? Or all the security reports in Port Harcourt? You know it. But you do not know the current report from heaven. Amen. You have been able to achieve the security report. But how about the report from heaven? Have you heard what heaven is saying today? Amen. As priests of God, we must enter. And we must dwell in that place. So let's read just two or three scriptures, a couple of scriptures, and then we will close. Let me read John. Let's read John. Let's go to John. First John and John. So let's start from John. John 14. John 14, 26. We'll be closing in the next few minutes. Please look up. This one, You need to get it. Now, we started by talking about the river. There is a river. That's the king. There is a river between your spirit and the Spirit of God. There is a flow. Now, you see, let's go to John chapter 7. Let's just touch that, then we'll come. To just lay a foundation. 7:37. What does it say? In the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried and said, if any man thirst, let him do what? Come to me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly. Belly means soul. Out of his belly will do what? Flow. Rivers of what? Living water. Where is the river? What's the source of that river? You understand? There is a river. That source can be cut. It can even dry up. Any river that dries up can be renewed. I thought I would hear a big amen. Yes. If there's a river, if it dries up, that means it can be renewed. And my river must be renewed now, this weekend. Amen. But this fake of what? The Spirit. We did that receive on him, show what? Received. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet. So there's a river of the Spirit. There is something, the ministry coming from the Spirit of God to my spirit, to your spirit. It is critical. If you didn't get anything I said today, get this one. That there is a flow of life, spirit to spirit. So the Spirit of God does what? Flows, ministers, waters. It speaks to your spirit. Because the Spirit hears, I hope you know. The Spirit hears just like your body hears. Your heart hears just like your body hears. There are ears at the levels. Amen. My God said to my God, sit down. Who heard it? Do you speak to somebody who does not hear? Amen. So, there is this river. So, let's go to now John 14, 26. Okay. John 14, 26. Are we there? Good. He said, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, what will he do? He will teach you of all things. How does the Spirit of God teach you? Answer. 1 Corinthians 2. 2:9. How does the Spirit of God teach you? Why does he teach you? On what basis does he teach you? You see the answer. Now, listen. He said, but I had not seen. Which eye is that one? Is it a physical eye? He says, he turned the eyes of the Gentile, to open the eyes of the Gentile. Were their eyes closed? He had to be with another eye that was closed, isn't it? The eye of the soul. The eye of the heart. Someone said, open the eyes of my heart. You heard that song? I had not seen, nor ear heard. Neither have entered into the heart of man. What? The things which God has prepared for them that love him. The good news. Look at the good news. Verse 10. Don't forget the good news. But God has what? Revealed them to us by His Spirit. The Spirit teaches you by revelation. The revelation of the Spirit. Amen. If you are too busy, you will not hear. The Spirit is always speaking. Today, He has been speaking to you. He has been speaking to me. Amen. The time of prayer is the time of shutting down every other ear. Shutting down every other voice. You go to about today. Forget about today. Today, you write a report at work. Forget about it. Can I teach you? Can I share with you my own secret? I start with Proverbs. I start with the Psalms, and I dismiss Abba and meeting with Proverbs and Psalms. I dismiss all those things. And the Word of God centers my mind on Christ. Amen. And then I can start hearing what God wants to say. Amen. Because the Word of God arrests your mind, bring it down. Amen. It says, you will keep him in perfect. Learn the secret of staying your mind. You know, the mind is a bird. It's always flying. Always flying. Always moving. Always moving. You must have a rope to tie it. It says, tie the sacrifice with cords. You tie it. Because when you stand up, in 5 minutes, you have forgotten everything you read. You must come back again. That's why you must put a small pocket Bible in your pocket. You have one in your phone already. If you forget, open it and read it again. Say, me and you today, I must get it. You need a strong man to bind the mind. Tie it down. Tie it down. And then you can hear the voice. So there is a revelation. The Spirit of God is sent to reveal. No, look at now. Read verse 10 and 11 and 13. Verse 10. But God had revealed that. Okay, we've seen that. For the Spirit does what? Searches all things. Yeah, the deep things of God. So the Spirit of God searches the things of God. Therefore, He brings the things of God to your own spirit. Amen. Look at the level. For what things one man knoweth the things of a man, save the Spirit of man. So, Spirit of man is on the man part. Spirit of God is on the God part. Your spirit searches your own spirit and your soul, your consciousness and unconsciousness. The Spirit of God is taking care of the other one. Two of them jam together. What will happen? The Spirit of God begins to download to your own spirit. Amen. So your spirit is receiving. It's being quickened. It's being downloaded all the time. Amen. So, say, he that prays in our unknown tongue, what do you do? You are building up your spirit. So you need to spend time and pray in unknown tongue. Sister Domo is always walking around. She's praying. Learn. You think she's doing exercise, burning fat, and also doing something inside there. Amen. Amen. Wake up don't be annoyed, by 2 o'clock, 3 or any time. Or in the afternoon, or any time at all. Just walk around and pray. Pray in the Spirit. Because you are, say, he that prayeth in our unknown tongue is what? Building. Edify means you are building up. Your spirit is strong to receive the things from God. That's what fasting does for you, because it knocks down the body. Knocks the body down, who I? And then your soul is strong. Your spirit is strong. You can reach out to heaven and you can receive. Amen. But when the body is strong, it will say, yeah, my friend, sit down. You just breathe the soul down. And the soul is overweighed by the body. May the Lord help us. Hallelujah. So, the Spirit of God is given to teach and minister the things of God to us. 1 John 2:26, I think. Start from 24. Sorry. 27. Look at this one. But the anointing which you have received of him does what? Abideth in you. And you need not that any man teach you. Be careful here. You have to balance this one now. When you guys stay in your house, I said, no. They said, say, do not forsake thee. So this new teaching is a different teaching. It's a teaching of the soul. You need not that any man should what? Teach you. But as the same anointing teacheth you all things, as is truth, and is no lie, and even as it had taught you, ye shall abide in it. So he's saying that the Spirit of God is there to teach. to reveal the things of God, to feed, to nourish, to minister. In the name of Jesus. Okay, I think we can close up here. The other scriptures, I'm sure when you go and look at it. But what we see is that there are two ministries. There's a ministry to seal the soul with darkness. There's another ministry to seal the soul with light. And the light shines in darkness, and the darkness will not. There is nothing to show us that darkness is so strong that light cannot overcome. Rather, we see enough evidence to encourage me to submit to the light. And there's an offering I wish to encourage us to make. It is called the offering of a lifetime. That's the offering God is encouraging us to make. Offer your lifestyle. From pleasure-seeking lifestyle to life-seeking lifestyle. Amen. Check your lifestyle. Check your priorities. The things that are like flies, no life of God, downgrade them. The ones that give you life, upgrade them. Amen. And offer it to God. Say, God, make this the chief of my life. Make this the strong points of my life. And I believe that we will have a change. May the Lord bless this word into our hearts in Jesus' name. Amen. I think we should pray. Then if there are questions, we can take the questions. Praise God.